The word today is yeast. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. We need to be aware of the way in which evil can infect our lives and the church worldwide. Sin can grow in our life similar to the way a disease can try to take over our body. The Apostle Paul used the illustration of a loaf of bread rising to help explain this principle. And here to help us appreciate our need to repent is Pastor Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Yeast.
Cancer is an ugly, really, really ugly disease. Right now, there's a man in our church who is dying of cancer. He's done everything that he could. He's gone through all the treatments, and it was not effective. He is succumbing to the disease. So we are ministering to him and praying with him. He knows the Lord Jesus. He knows eternally he's going to be in the presence of God, and this gives tremendous comfort to him and joy to all of us. But this disease, cancer, it's really like the disease from hell. It spreads and attacks and takes over the good cells in the body. And about the only way that we know to get rid of it is to try to obliterate it, to literally try to kill it. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, as he is talking to the Christians in Corinth, uses an analogy that is somewhat similar when he is talking to them about the need to get rid of sin from the community any way we can. He says in verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 5, "Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth." Paul was, as a pastor, as a leader, taking the Corinthian congregation to task because there was a case of gross immorality, terrible sin in the congregation that was not being confronted by the other Christians. You know, there are situations in the Bible which shows the sinful human condition in its fullest degree. The Bible doesn't try to paint everybody as though they're perfect and as though once they become a believer, they never have problems in their life again. And so to some people, it's incredibly shocking that when they find out that Paul in 1 Corinthians was chastising the Christians because there was a case of incest in the church. And it was likely that a man was sleeping with his stepmother. Well, the problem was he wasn't confronted. He wasn't being challenged on the sin to repent. So there were some really major problems in the understanding of the Corinthian church. So Paul gets on their case. He really is giving them a hard time about that because he wants them to wake up and realize you can't just let things like that happen in a church. People that are committing gross public sins need to be chastised, need to be corrected, need to be called to account. Otherwise, he says, it's like the yeast that permeates a loaf of bread, a ball of dough. And, you know, I can't help but see parallels between what Paul is saying and the sinfulness and wickedness that goes unchallenged in many parts of the Christian church in the world today. There is a real sense of pride. There is a sense of arrogance in much of the global church today, where sin that is very blatant is not being repented of. And the call needs to go out that this is not appropriate, and that Christians cannot act with sexual indecency and immorality and lewdness and greed. These individuals should not be promoted, and especially among clergy or among leaders in the Christian church, they shouldn't be promoted. They should have proceedings for excommunication started against them. This is not acceptable. And it really makes a mockery of Christianity in the mind of the person who doesn't believe. They look at it and they say they're living no different than we are. In fact, in some cases, they might feel the Christians are worse. That's why there needs to be repentance in the church. How dare we presume to be holy and righteous and that, and calling the world to account for sin when we have blatant sin in our own lives. The church needs to be in repentance and needs to be turning from this wickedness that is so rife in the church. So Paul points out that there were problems in the Corinthian church, which, by the way, if you have sinful people, you're always going to have sins, and some of them will be what some would consider minor sins, little light sins, like people trying to tell white lies, things like that, which, by the way, I don't believe there is such a thing as a white lie. All dishonesty and deception is to be done away with when you become a Christian. You don't use half-truths when it's convenient. The Christian is to speak truthfully and to put off falsehood, as the scriptures say. And so Paul, dealing with the early Christians, is dealing with the problem that every era has had. Every age of Christianity has always had cases of blatant sin. And they need to be confronted, and they need to be repented of. The reason why is because, just like cancer in the body, if it's not attacked, if it's not challenged and done away with, then the cancer grows. And it's the same with Paul's illustration of the yeast. If it's not excised or cut out of the batch of dough, well, it will end up permeating the entire batch. Now, obviously in the Christian church, if someone sees another person who's a believer living in blatant open sin and not repenting of it, then they themselves will be tempted to live in sin themselves. And that's why we constantly need to be humble and repentant, and it's why we need to keep each other accountable in the Christian church, to lovingly confront our brother or sister if we see that there is a problem or if we see that there is a sin that they are not repenting of. This is for their own good as well, so that they will not become calloused or bitter and start to float further and further away from the Lord Jesus. So we need to understand something here, and that is that sin is never static. It either will grow or shrink. And it's the same with faith. Faith is dynamic as well. It will either grow or shrink. And we need to be aware that in the church, as individuals and as a group, we want our faith to grow. And so we need to be repenting of our sin. We need to be sort of like that woman that Jesus was talking with who was caught in adultery. The Lord Jesus said to her, you know, after the others threw down their stones and walked away because Jesus pointed out their self-righteousness, Jesus said, then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She had received the forgiveness of Jesus. She had received acceptance of Jesus, despite the fact that she was a sinful woman. And yet he says, I don't condemn you. That's the beautiful message of the gospel. The church is not comprised of sinless people. In many ways, we are no better than other people in the world. And at times, the capability of conducting having a large blatant sin in our lives is very obvious. And yet, God has forgiven us. We've just simply believed that. We've just simply accepted that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth in order to suffer and die for us so that we would be forgiven. And we still can't be perfect, but we're clinging to that forgiveness of Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. And if you want to repent of your sin, and if you want that forgiveness, all you need to do is ask God for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He will bring you into his kingdom, and then you'll become part of the church, and you'll begin to reform your life. You'll begin to change and become more Christ-like. You're not going to get rid of all of your sin. It's like that little cancer in our bodies that we've got to continuously fight. We have to resist it. If we don't continue resisting sin, then it will slowly take over in our lives, because sin wants to grow, but we want our faith to grow. We don't want it to just sit static in one place. We want it to be vital and vibrant, like a plant that's growing and producing more fruit. So we need to understand that both as individuals and as the group, we want to confront sin. We want to challenge it. We want to cut sin out of our lives. We ask for the power of God and for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in order to do that. I would urge you, if you're leaving a sinful life, if you're looking to come to the Lord Jesus, find Christians, find people who are trying to walk with the Lord Jesus so that you can make new friends with them. They will help you and encourage you so that you will leave that life of sin. And then also find a church to worship. Be a part of the group of Jesus Christ who are fighting sin, resisting it. They're seeking to please God, not to please the world. Like Paul said, sin must be done away with. Each one of us has this battle daily, that we will resist sin in our own lives, that we will attempt to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and simply accept his forgiveness for us sinners, and the love that he has for each one of us.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.